Welcome back to Exquisitely Aligned. I'm Gina Meyer-Vincent, the host and your personal soul shifter, here to help you define and design the destiny you desire and deserve, the one where you become exactly what's missing in the world. And today, my guest has done exactly that. I am excited to introduce you to Mari Dagger. She is the founder and president of Voices of the Heart, a foundation dedicated to supporting women and men affected by divorce, sexual assault, or rape. Through the foundation, she provides coaching, legal resources, and support groups that empower people to break free from the cycle of abuse and navigate divorce with strength and grace. Her own journey has been marked by the challenges of divorce and the quest of to rediscover her inner voice, which you know we are huge proponents of here. She established the foundation driven by a profound passion to help others facing similar struggles. Mari understands how lonely this road can be to navigate and wanted to make sure that no heart feels alone. She deeply believes that no woman or man should bear the weight of navigating these challenges in isolation. Every heart has a story to share with the world. Every heart is worthy of being loved. And so thank you, Mari, for joining me today and becoming exactly what's been missing in the world. I am delighted to have you here.
Thank you, Gina. I'm honored to be here.
So if you don't mind talking about the tough stuff first, having read that you've been through this on your own, I am guessing this is what has brought you to this place where you are now. But I always love to showcase the journey of, or the invitation, I like to call it, of where we're called to step into something we haven't done before. And then even if we're frightened, we are able to find enlightenment, and even better is being able to pay it forward the way you have. So if you don't mind starting with the tough stuff first, so that then we can get to the enlightenment and the impact that you're making in the world today. I'd love to just start there. I know that you're also a mom, and I know that you became a single parent, which is not always easy. But sometimes when we're married, we also feel like we're a single parent. I've had some guests tell me that as well. And I felt that a couple of times, especially when my husband was struggling with health issues. He certainly couldn't be a parent. He was really fighting to be alive. But what was that like? And tell us as much or as little as you wish to share it with us today.
Oh, I love starting with the heavy and then going lighter at the end. Not in the beginning. So I'll back up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's quite funny how our darkest moments can turn into the most beautiful things in our lives later down the road. But it's just so challenging when you're going through this to see that.
Right.
And for me, in 2012, at the end of the 2012, not realizing I was my first client in the sense of... First client was born that day, that year, at the age of 26. Becoming a single mom was definitely not something I had envisioned for myself. And after being married for a little over 9 years to their husband, there was so much I can only take on, and having the marriage be toxic and unhealthy. It wasn't something that I could sustain for the rest of my life, nor did I want my children to understand that's what life is and that's what we settle for and that's it.
Oh, and I love that. So let's stop right there for a second. Because I do think life becomes so busy and we can get wrapped up very quickly into the hubbub of the everyday and getting the kids out the door and the husband situated, whatever that is, cooking a meal, whatever that looks like. And we can just put it on the back burner, our desires for a different life, one where it's not toxic 80% of the time or even 20% of the time, you know? And settling is something that I think many people settle, not just even in a marriage, but it can happen in a job or even in a career, a lifetime commitment. It can happen in parenting. Oh, I'm just going to settle. The child's going to rule the roost, which usually in the end doesn't work. But at least in our house, it never would work, never would fly. We wouldn't allow it. But I'm glad you mentioned that. Okay, so continue, because you're young, you're beautiful, kids in hand, and realizing that this is not in, I'm going to use the words healthy. Well, you said toxic and healthy. Yes. So.
Yeah, it wasn't healthy. It was toxic. It was heavy. It was dark. And it wasn't a way for anyone to live.
Mm. Right.
Whether it was me or my kids.
Yeah.
Didn't deserve that. Mm-hmm. And life is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So much to life to see. And when you're trying to survive, you really can't live. You're fighting to live. There's a difference between being alive and living life. And I realized,
I don't mean to laugh, but it's very true, and you can see it and feel it in other people, even if you just meet them for a moment. It's usually that intense. Yes.
Yeah, it is. And I realized my kids at the time were all under the age of 7, and not once did I really enjoy their childhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to enjoy that. I wanted to enjoy them growing up. I wanted to enjoy my life. I wanted to enjoy being a young mom too.
I was going to say, and being a mother, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, this was something you wanted, you asked for, you invited in, and then here you are not able to really fully take it in and be present, I'm assuming.
Right. I couldn't be present because I was fighting to stay alive, to fight to stay. And I didn't want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to enjoy my kids. I wanted to enjoy being a mother. I wanted to enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do that as long as I was married.
Yeah.
It was either continue to fight in a place that just had no way out,
mm-hmm.
or leave and fight for the life I deserve.
Exactly, right? That is a win-win versus exhaustion. Exactly. You know, and I think that I like to use the words unhappy, unsatisfied, unfulfilled. And, you know, there's levels of that. It sounds like yours was pretty dramatic, maybe a 10 out of 10 as far as being unhappy, unsatisfied, unfulfilled. But even if somebody is at a 1.5, I think we really have to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, which direction do we want to go? Mm-hmm. Fight, like you said, to be completely, I'm going to use the word annihilated. I don't even know why that word's coming to my mind, but that's the word I'm getting right now, versus fighting to keep it together to thrive, you know, for you, yourself, and your children.
Yeah, exactly. And it was that time. Mm-hmm. At the end of 2012, it was the time that I had to take that first step. And it wasn't just for me, but it was also for my kids. I was taking that step for all of us as a family to be on the path that we deserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's when the first client of Voices of a Heart was born.
And what a beautiful and talented person, first client. I love it.
And that's where the journey started. That is when it all began. Leaving was the first step. It was the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
And that was the easy step.
Mm-hmm.
Weeks after leaving, months after leaving, a couple years after leaving, I realized that was easy. Wait, I thought that was supposed to be the hard part. But that was the easy part. Leaving was the easy part. It was getting back on my feet, trying to understand who I am as a person without a spouse, trying to understand who I want to become, what kind of woman I want to become, let alone what kind of mother I want to be for my kids.
Right.
What kind of life do we want? I had to figure all that out from scratch, from zero. And it was like taking my first steps all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting. So when you entered the marriage, did you have those things in mind? Who you were as a person and what you were dreaming of and what you wanted in the future? Would you say that was solidified? I mean, you were young when you got married. I have to do the math. So if, wow, you were you 17? No.
Yes, I was.
Okay, because I was like, hold on. Were you married here in the States?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a choice.
I am asking you, Mari, because my daughter is 17, turning 18 on the 10th, and I'm like, wait a minute, is that legal to be married at 17 in the United States? I don't even know, because luckily she's not dating, and we'll keep it that way for her, hopefully a little longer. You know, I'm teasing, but wow, I didn't do the math before. So 17. Did you feel like you knew who you were at 17? Because I'm looking at my daughter and I would say for her, no. You know, I give her glimpse and pieces like, remember how this made you excited and this didn't work, wasn't fulfilling. But tell us.
Honestly, in the moment, I thought I knew who I was. The truth is, looking back, no. I knew I had one mission in mind.
Yeah.
And I did it. But did I know fully, truly who I am at my core and what kind of person I am? No.
Yeah.
I didn't. I didn't even have an idea. I was still searching for her.
Yeah, of course. So from a yoga standpoint, we have these energy centers called chakras, and they are 7 years. So in utero, age 7, then up to age 14, up to age 21. And then that's when we start living above the abdomen into the heart, the throat, being able to know how we feel, being centered in voicing our opinions, having the intuition, and then the mindset, etc. And so from a yoga chakra energy standpoint, we believe as yogis that the person is not developed yet, you know. And of course, some people mature very quickly. I had a meeting with a gentleman 2 days ago who is light years ahead in his thinking. My son is like that. My daughter is very much like that in certain aspects and then not so much in others. And that's natural and normal. But 17, I don't know that I could have supported my daughter to get married at that age. So did your parents, and may I ask, was he your age or older than you by a little bit or by a lot? Like, because when I was 17, I couldn't get a boy to look at me, never mind propose.
He was older. He was 9 years older. And it was one of those flute moments of, oh, that just happened. Okay. And I didn't reject the idea. I was like, yeah, okay, great. Hey, it was always in the back of my mind. I was like, I'm going to get married and have kids. Yeah. And if my cousins always knew me to be going around and be like, I'm going to have 4 kids, 5 kids. I love children. You can't tell, I have 3 of my own. But I knew, I was like, okay, I like him. We'll grow old. We'll get married. We'll have a family. Life never really turns out the way we expected or plan, I should say. And I planned for one life, but the universe gave me something else. And then I had to adjust.
And your parents, were they like gung-ho, head over heels? Because I think sometimes we, the person who's in a relationship or in a friendship, I'm not talking always a marriage or dating, But as parents, we usually have maybe this intuition, or being on the outside, we can see more 20/20. I mean, were all of your friends in support? Were your parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents? Was everybody like, oh, this is a marriage made in heaven? Or were there people saying, hey, Mari, wait, hold on?
I had a little bit of both, but if you know me, you know, one thing that has always been a part of who I am at my core is when I make up my mind, that's it. I make up my mind. There's no talking me out of it. There's no convincing me any other way. So I made up my mind to marry him. And it was one of those things where it just had to happen. Mm-hmm. It was my path. It was a part of my journey. Mm-hmm. Of being married to him. And even though at one point the engagement got broken up, I went back, the wedding still happened. And my parents were 50-50 about it. It was more of, you're the one that's going to marry him. You're the one that's going to live with him. What do you want?
Yeah.
And I understand for some people that are probably going to be listening of like, how would any parent allow a 17-year-old to make up that, come to that conclusion on their own? Mm-hmm. But they knew me.
Yeah.
And they knew who I was. Mm-hmm. And that was just I made up my mind. That's it. There's no going back.
Well, I'm laughing on the other side, Mari, not at you. But if my mom does listen in on the show, she would say I was the same. So, and when I made my decision, it was like, now. I'll never forget, I drove her crazy about picking up a leather bomber jacket. I think I was probably about 17. I was in high school. My girlfriend's mom worked at A&S department store, which is no longer, and was able to give me her discount. And I needed that jacket. I actually still have it in my closet. Am I wearing it? No, but I do hope to wear it again. But I keep it as a reminder of how driven I am. My number one strength in Gallup Strengths Survey is I get shit done. I'm an activator. So whether it's me moving clients into a different space, place, paradigm, or me getting stuff done. So I was not laughing about what you were saying. I was laughing because I understand and I know. And hence, Blissed Outfit and Feisty was born. The feisty part had to be in the brand. I did have another question for you, which you kind of answered as I was thinking about it. But I often ask people who are separated or divorced on the day of their wedding, when they were walking down, if they were down an aisle or down the path to the beach to meet their soon-to-be spouse, if there was an inkling that, you know, a no-go. And I asked that usually because I called off a wedding when I was 27. I guess now I had turned 28. We got engaged while I was 27. I had a birthday and I knew he did not want to marry me, even though he proposed to me. I just knew it in my gut instinct that when I looked in a mirror, I couldn't really look at myself. I was able to get lipstick on, luckily, because my lips are nice and full, so I could get it on pretty well. But I rarely looked in the mirror for about 2 months. Until I realized I needed to ask him, what percentage are you sure you want to marry me? We're 3 months away from walking down the aisle. And I am a math person. He told me 80. And that's when the wedding was called off because I felt like we were young, healthy. I owned a condo. He had really very little debt. We had no sick children. We had no mortgage. We had no aging parents. We had both a job. You know, we didn't have to put an animal to sleep. Life was so simple, easy. And if somebody was 80% when it's easy, what is it going to be like when it's not easy? But you kind of answered my question by saying it was, you split up for a little bit and then came back. But on your wedding day, did you have any instinct or intuition or feeling as such to now this isn't 100%?
That's funny you ask me that because I knew it wasn't 100% from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I knew that marriage was not going to last forever. Mm. I went into it knowing that gut feeling, like you said, it's just an inkling of, yeah, top 10 years. That's it. And it was a bit of on the 10-year mark. I left, and it wasn't planned that way, I will say. It was a really big gut feeling throughout the whole time we knew each other prior to the marriage of, you know, when something is meant to happen, no matter what you do, it is just meant to happen. It was one of those things. We were meant to get married, but I knew in my gut that we were not going to last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like to say, just listen to that instinct, because it's just like an animal. Who we had one cat, Hobbs, who would know when the storms were coming and would just fly through the entire house and go to the master bedroom and tuck under the bed 2 hours in advance of a huge storm. And it was like having a little weather girl, boy, living in the house, where we would know, like, what is he doing? And then you're like, oh, he's under the bed, storm's coming, get the whatever we had outside, bring it in. But I feel like that intuition is something here, not just in America, because I interview people around the world, but that we really need to take into, like, it's our compass, it's our GPS, it's our North Star, and really just allow it to intentionally guide us, so that we, you know, whatever it might be, save us from, for me, it would have been a not so, he was a nice guy. He had a fabulous family. I just think I would have been unfulfilled in the sense of growth, potential, and being inspired by somebody. I don't think he could have ever supported me in the sense of inspiring me to be bigger, better, more, and to do the work that I'm here to do. So I don't, you know, he wouldn't have been, what's the word? It wouldn't have been toxic at all. It just would have probably not been so satisfying, you know? Okay, so let's get to, you made the decision. You realized you had done the easy part, the first steps. It's months later. And you and the kids and everything, that's where you realized what? I have a few ideas, but I don't want to say them. So what were you realizing at that point after you realized the easy was over?
How on earth am I going to support myself and raise my kids? What did I just do? What if it doesn't work out?
All those what ifs. Yeah.
The what ifs kept roaming in my head. What if I can't figure it out? What if I fail at it? What if we're worse off? And it got to the point where it started to spiral me out of control.
Of course. Yeah. Because we call it the monkey mind. So everybody has one, and it's made to, like, go in different directions, but we have to intentionally guide it all the time, 24/7, even when we're sleeping. But it is natural for it to spiral and go out of control. And of course, that negativity, the what if, and I don't mean like you're negative, but I'm just saying, when that what if with a question mark comes, it just continues to build upon that energy. And yeah, that I think many people can feel that. I think oftentimes that can keep people from even taking that first step. And I mean, as a mom of a current 17-year-old, my daughter hasn't established herself financially yet. You know, I mean, she does work. She brings in an income. She pays for things. She paid for her dance solo lessons, you know, so she's becoming responsible, but she could not go out and live on her own, never mind with three children.
Right. So, I was fortunate enough to have and be blessed with an amazing mother that helped me get back on my feet. Mm-hmm. And the what ifs kept going, no matter what, no matter how many people you have supporting you.
Yeah, sure.
Even though she is my mother, I am a mother of three of myself. And it was my job to support them and raise them, not hers. Mm-hmm. It's not her job. She raised me. Now I have to figure it out. She was there to support me until I figured it out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And the moment that light bulb moment went off in my head that really dialed down and calmed those what ifs, it was when I realized, wait, in a way, I kind of created that life. Mm-hmm. I had that light bulb moment, which just sounds crazy to think, wait, you created that life? You asked for it? No, I didn't ask for it. But I, in a way, called for that.
Right.
It was more of like, we pull in what we are. Mm-hmm. In our lives. We pull in what we believe we are.
Yes.
And I realized, okay, great. I did that. Then that means I can create the life I want. Mm-hmm. I didn't deserve that. So what life do I deserve? What do I want my next chapter to look like? Now let me change the way I think instead of going, what if, what if, what if?
Right.
And start asking myself, great, I want that. How do I get it? How do I do it? What do I need to do to get that, to get to the life that I want, that I know I deserve? Mm-hmm. That's when things really started to change for me.
Yeah. And that's, I think we always have to start with awareness. Like being aware that there is an issue, whatever it be, being aware that there is an opportunity that we have the ability to change it. Yeah. And then the decision to go ahead and move in that direction. And it's a constant intentional decision 24/7, whether it's I like to call it our three divine resources, time, money, and energy. Where am I focusing my time? Where am I focusing my energy on what, you know, and my money, so that you're constantly making these votes that align with who you are exquisitely, so that you continue to bring in that life that you want, that destiny. I love that. That's awesome. And so what did that look like as it was unfolding for you?
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's all I could say. And I didn't mean I didn't have any struggles along the way. Mm. I still was dealing with struggles to figure it out as I was moving along in my path, but it was peaceful. It was calmer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wasn't struggling. I wasn't pushing against the current.
Right.
Instead of pushing against it and fighting it, I surrendered and I just went with the current. I allowed myself to flow with it.
Mm-hmm. And that's the beautiful thing. I think when we align with who we are authentically, our truest selves, and acknowledge our gifts, acknowledge our truths, our soul level truths and our heartfelt desires, everything else aligns with us. And people come out of the woodwork to support us. Money comes to you, whatever you need comes to you. Maybe it's not what you had desired. It's probably 10 times better than what you desired. And that's when everything starts opening up. And for me, that's when I believe you really truly begin to open to your possibilities and what's available to you, what becomes available right at your fingertips. So tell us now, if you don't mind, about your charity that I had mentioned earlier and how it all, I mean, because that had to be yet another, like birthing another child as a single parent and what you're dealing with then, tax things and legal terms and stuff. It's like adopting a child from a foreign country, because I had to go through all of that, proving with your taxes and your fingerprints and the State Bureau of FBI and all the other dots and your I's you're dotting and T's you're crossing. But how did that come about where you finally felt called and ready to step into that?
It was kind of a out of body experience, I will be honest. Even though the idea was born 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I just kept going. And then last year, at the end of last year, it was just, again, that gut feeling, that voice in my head of like, it's time. You're ready. It needs to be born. You've been holding on to it.
Yeah.
Nurturing it, taking care of it for the last 11 years. Now we have to release it into the world. And mm-hmm. I truly have an amazing support in the sense of, when I say support, it's just more of my angels were around me. They were mm-hmm. there guiding me, helping me. And I learned over the years to trust. Mm-hmm. When something's being nudged at me over and over and I am not happy where I'm at, mm-hmm. something else is getting ready to be born again.
Absolutely. Yes.
And that was when I took the initiative of turning it into a nonprofit to mm-hmm. help people who are going through this journey that I went through over 11 years ago. I wanted to help them.
Yeah.
I wanted to have a community for them, mm-hmm. a support system, mm-hmm. guidance to go through that with someone else, not to need to do it alone. Mm-hmm. It's a lonely world, and you can feel a tiny bit crazy going through it.
And I think there are, so alone, let's hang on there for a second. I think there are several things, because I've done a lot of research on this in the past 20 years mm-hmm. or over the 20 years. And I think people feel vulnerable. So to be able to say, I need help is a huge thing, especially for a woman and definitely for a man as well. I think there's vulnerability of, if I leave this marriage, what will happen between my family, their family, et cetera, you know, for my kids, the grandparents, aunts, uncles, you know, there's who's going to judge us. That's a huge thing. Am I worthy of leaving based on what we've learned from grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, et cetera, what we believe in as far as our cultural beliefs, our religious or faith-filled beliefs. I mean, there's so many things that can make us feel alone because most people don't give a voice to what you and I are sharing right now. And I love that you're sharing so transparently and eloquently, of course, but what it's like, how it felt, all the different stages of it, because it's not you just decide to leave and everything's peaches and cream. And you win a lot, someone gifts you a winning lottery ticket, right? It's figuring that out and coming back to your truths and coming back to what desires do you really have? I asked someone that question recently, a man, what do you desire for the next 10 years of your life? And it just, he hadn't thought about that because he was struggling so hard trying to keep something together that he couldn't figure out what did he really want instead of trying to keep something that was broken, you know, glued together or tied together with the thinnest of threads instead of, you know, duct tape, right? That feeling of alone, definitely. We're so connected, right? Through social media, Zoom, you know, yet feeling so alone, that is huge. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was the biggest factor in the sense of I was alone with a heart that was aching.
Yeah.
It was aching to be heard.
Yeah.
And it couldn't be heard if I didn't share my voice, if I didn't share my story. Mm-hmm. It couldn't heal mm-hmm. without having someone to listen to, without mm-hmm. having someone to hear me. And to be able to have that, I had to voice my story.
Yeah.
It took me a while to understand being vulnerable wasn't a matter of being weak. It wasn't a matter of understanding that I'm complaining or I'm putting myself in that victim role. No, it's not. Being vulnerable is understanding, hey, I went through this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of my story. It's not my whole story. It's one chapter out of many chapters in my book.
Right.
And that's what I realized that helped me heal.
Mm-hmm.
Help that aching turn into love was to really share my story and to have my voice heard.
And I think it helps our children. I mean, it helps everyone. When we share our story so transparently, it gives the ability for others to do the same, to follow suit, to feel, you know, they are safe. It really creates such a safe space and environment. And honestly, that's why I do this show. It's really just a passion project to help others realize they are not alone in whatever they're feeling. And many of the topics that we touched on today, Mari, with your help, go into other parts of people's lives, whether it's their spirituality, they may feel alone, whether it's their career path, etc. We talked about marriage. It could be in their parenting style. It doesn't matter. Maybe it's in their friendships. They're not in the right circles at the moment and they're desiring more. So I love that. I'd love for you, because I see the clock is coming almost to an end, but if you can share about again, the name, how to find you, and maybe a bit about what you offer. I mean, we highlighted it, but maybe a little more in depth, or just repeating what you've said, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So Voices of a Heart is the foundation that helps women and men who are in an abusive marriage. We help them leave by taking that first step to finding them a great attorney to match them and their case. We offer financial assistance when it comes to lawyers. That is program A. Program B is where we don't just hand you off to a lawyer and say goodbye, have a great life. We help you heal. We help you transition from that life to the life you deserve, to the life that you envision for yourself, that you want, and you can't envision it. That's okay. We help you do that. We help you heal. We help you find your voice to be able to share the story, to help other people overcome what you're overcoming.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a support system. It's about having a community and not doing it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that is interested in something like this, they can find us on Instagram and our website. We have those that we connect to, and we're really active on that.
Awesome. That's wonderful. And everything will be listed on how to contact Mari here in the show notes. So don't be shy. Okay, Mari, time to pull a card from opening to possibilities. I shuffled them before we started, but I always like to give them one more quick shuffle. And then as I thumb through them, I'll just ask you to tell me when to stop, and I'll read you the card. On the card is a word and three questions. And then you are more than welcome to answer one, two, or all three of the questions. So go ahead and just tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Oh, I have one hand on two. Serenity. So serenity offers you an anchor no matter what outer winds are blowing. And I love how this one is the one we picked. So where do you find serenity? What does it look like for you? What benefits do you receive from serenity? And you can, and one, two, or all three, whatever you're comfortable with.
My serenity is kind of interesting. for me, having serenity is being able to spend time with myself.
Time. I missed that. Go ahead.
It's being able to spend time with myself.
Yes.
Connecting with myself, my heart, mm-hmm. and taking the time to enjoy my own company.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my serenity.
Mm-hmm. And I think that oftentimes there's a lot of noise going on in the world and scheduled to death. I just wrote an article for a magazine that I don't remember if it's picked up for May or June, but about how to schedule your calendar with intention for those things like that. And I also ask my clients to schedule breaks so that if you're running late, you don't have to drive crazily through traffic, try to get somewhere. Or if you desire to spend a little extra time with somebody, you have it built into your schedule. Or if you just want to go out like me and soak in the sunshine like I did a few minutes before we got together. And I think that, so from where you were at, let's say, age 25, before you reached that turning point at 26, to where you are now on a scale of serenity, 1 to 10, where would you have rated yourself during the marriage to now?
I was definitely at a 0 then.
0. Okay. I thought you were going to be higher, but I love that because, you know, that really shows. And now where are you?
I have my days and my moments, but it ranges between 8 and 10.
Okay. I'm hoping to get you to a 12 as we continue to get to know each other. So,
I want to jump.
Maybe at a 15 because, you know, I'm all about being outside of the box. So you don't have to fit in the 0 to 10, but that was awesome. So, Mari, I have to say thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for sharing so transparently, eloquently, and beautifully the transformation that you've been through, how you stepped into taking a bold, brave, and courageous step to someplace that was probably uncharted territory, a bit frightening, and finding the enlightenment and really putting the pieces back of yourself, back to who you are, so you can be exquisitely aligned. And for that, I commend you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you.
So you will find everything about Mari here in the show notes. I'd love for you to reach out and connect with her or connect those that you love her going through such a situation to her. At the same time, if you're at a place where you're ready to take that bold, brave, and courageous step, whether it be to do like Mari has for a 501c3 or to become just exactly what you see missing in the world to become exquisitely aligned, I'd love to hop on a call with you. You can find out more at exquisitelyaligned.com and go to connect with Gina. Till next time, be exquisite.